This morning we'll be reading Psalms, from Psalm 107, verses 1 through 21. And that passage is on the back of the bulletin if you'd like to look at it, or from your Bibles, either one. Psalms 107, beginning in verse 1. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth to the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of the Lord and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of the distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. A few weeks ago in the United States, we celebrated Thanksgiving, a day marked on our calendars. And that Sunday near to Thanksgiving, we talked about giving thanks for our blessings. And certainly that's something that, at least in our nation, it's pretty much remembered every year. There are people in our society, however, who would like to take that day out of the calendar and no longer say that we ought to be thankful for this nation. Yet, when we look to God's Word, we see the history of mankind, and we find that time after time, century after century, sometimes it was decades, sometimes it was centuries, but generation after generation, there have been records of men who lived in certain areas in certain times. There have been generations of the people of God, known as the Israelites, who for a time served God and turned their backs on Him. Nations who for a time, for the most part, respected God and His laws and applied that to their civil and moral laws. And therefore, for the most part, they prospered for a time. Yet many of those nations failed, or were overrun by other nations, or the people, they went into demise because of their moral decay, because of their attitude, because their refusal to accept the fact that blessings come from God, because of their refusal to not only accept God as creator and giver and sustainer of life and the giver of all blessings, but the idea that they don't, in their minds, say that there's not a God. And many of them say that if there is a God, He would be different than He is. And so men have made judgment calls in their life over the years against God for various reasons. And most of those were because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Therefore, failing to not only give thanksgiving to God, but also to serve God. And many times their life fell into shambles. Many times the nations where they live fail from being a good nation, a safe nation, to a nation of turmoil. And what causes that? Well, sin causes turmoil in the lives of men. Sin has always been an upsetting factor in the lives of mankind. We can go back to the book of Genesis and find in the Garden of Eden when God told Adam and Eve not to eat of that fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, because in the day ye thereof ye shall surely die. And when she was tempted by the serpent and she ate and gave to her husband and he did eat, they fell from the presence of God into sin. They created or brought upon themselves turmoil in their life, because now their eyes were open and they looked at evil. They looked at things that was wrong. And so God told them, you're going to be punished for this. And so down through the history of mankind, we see that even though God warns mankind, oftentimes we fail to thank God for what we have and for who we are, and in that thankfulness, to be obedient to Him. So this morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about what the Bible says about giving thanks, although about 3 weeks ago or so, we had a lesson about thanksgiving. But I want us to look at the thanks we ought to be giving to God and some of the verses in the Bible that talk about that, and then relate into the fact that, how is my life in relationship to God? Am I thankful? Am I living it in that regard? And then as we look around and we see the lives of others and the attitudes of others and the things that's going on in society today, and you see the attitude of many people, the attitude is that we can sustain ourselves, that we don't need God, that we're self-sufficient, and that people believe they can save the planet, and they didn't create the planet. They think they can save the planet, but the planet and all universe was made by God. He sustains this world. He sustains these worlds. It is in Him that everything functions, not man. He placed us here with a duty to serve Him and be obedient to Him. And that's not to say that we shouldn't be good stewards of the land, but it's to say that we have no control over whether it stands or does not stand, because God will make that decision. He's already promised that the heavens and the earth are going to melt with fervent heat, that this universe as we know it is going to be burned up, and there'll be nothing left in the last day. But no one knows when that day will be except the Father alone, not even the Son Himself. But the Father will say, tell His Son when to come, and He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, in flaming fire, bringing vengeance on those that know not God, judging the world. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and those that are alive and remain, that are faithful, will be caught up in the air with the Lord, and so be turned over forever to the Lord, to God the Father in heaven forever and ever. The church will be turned over to God in heaven. So when we think about where we are and living on this earth and my responsibility to myself and to others and to the time that I have here on this earth, it's important that I remember to give thanks to God. And remembering that, to be thankful enough to do His will. Because nations come and nations fall. So we want to look at those things about giving thanks for our blessings, and then look at the fact that, can nations fall? And we know they can, but we're going to look at that. And why do nations fall? We're going to look at that because the Bible tells us why nations fall. And what can nations do, what can people do to get back to God and restore their relationship with God and be a better people and restore themselves? What can we do? And the Bible tells us what to do in that regard. So every generation faces its own issues or problems. Every generation has its main points that it has to face. And so you can look back in your life, if you've been here 5 decades or 4 decades or 8 decades, you can look back and you can see that every few years there's different issues, there's different problems. There's different things that come about, popularity things that are not of God, that the world reaches out and grabs and goes against what's right by doing evil. And so it's important that we look to God's Word and see what He says to us about who He is and who we are, and giving thanks to Him for all of our blessings. Let's look back to Psalms 107 just briefly, and let's look at verse 8. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We know the children of Israel was his chosen people, but God blesses men. God blesses mankind with sunlight, with moonlight, with rain, with the changing of the season. So the just and the unjust both are blessed with God. But those who turn from being unjust to believing God and obeying Him will be blessed with eternal life and be saved because they come to God in obedience. And so our duty is not to become people that are unjust, but to live justly and righteously in the sight of God and serve Him. And you look down and you see in verse 11 of Psalms 107, because they rebelled against the words of the Lord and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. That brings back a memory of the children of Israel that we studied in Adam's class and other classes, Jan's and others, in our study about the children of Israel, how they'd come back to God and He'd take them back and forgive them when they repented and amended their ways, and then they'd turn away from Him because of their own ideas, their own ways, because of the things they did, suppressing their own people, not treating people right, offering up less to God than what He required, and letting people around them influence them. And so they turned away from God and they failed. They were punished. And so the Bible teaches about these things. And it's important for us to understand these things and hold on to our faith no matter what's going on around us. Don't give in to the whims of men and society and the wiles of the devil, and become like those around who say there's not a God and that we shouldn't believe in God, and those who want to take God out of our hearts and our minds and our homes, those that want to take our children away from us and make them something that they're not, make them something that God didn't intend for them to be, try to make them something that they never cannot be, but they pretend to be. We're living in a time, folks, of danger. And you may say, Charles, you're watching too much news. No, I watch very little news. But I just, if you get in your car and you drive down the road and you keep your ears open, you know these things are going on. So I'm not a fanatic. You'd have to be someone that was just closing yourself off somewhere, perhaps in a cave, and not listening and not watching to see what's going on. At the same way in Noah's day, those people were only evil continually with their thoughts. But Noah, he found grace in the sight of God because he was a righteous man. So it's not the first time over years, as I've already said, generations come and generations go. Some are more evil than others. Some evil generations try to override anyone and anything that's right and get them out of the way or subdue them to the point that they have no say. And so we ought to give thanks for what God does for us. Verse 11, this happens because they rebelled against the words of the Lord and despised the counsel of the Most High. That is a sermon in itself. That is a series of lessons. That is a 3-month study Bible class in itself of how that people rebel against the words of the Lord and despise the counsel of the Most High. We can go back to the children of Israel and see how they did it. We can see how some of the children of God in the New Testament days, in the church at Corinth and other places, turned their lives against God because of corrupt living, sinful living, the sins of the flesh that took them away from God. And so it's those things. We rebel against God because we do not listen to His counsel. People turn from God because they do not listen to His rules. Nations become corrupt because those in power do not listen to God's rules that should apply to civil and moral things just as it does to spiritual things. God has designed that. So, who was it used to say, wake up, America? wake up, Christians. Wake up, Charles. I need to wake up to the fact of who God is and what He's done. And look at verse 13. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. What that's telling us is this. If people would just listen to the Word of God and follow its counsel, obey its precepts, and obey God by faith, and apply the principles of salvation that He lays out, they can have forgiveness of their sins. If they listen to the counsel of God and apply the principles that are laid out in the Bible to society, to the community, to the area in which people live, then what would happen? Neighbor would treat neighbor right. Politicians would treat those who are not politicians right. Politicians and those in power would look to God for guidance so that the laws that were made were right laws, good laws, just laws in the sight of God, instead of making laws that go against God and go against what's right and the principles of the Bible. Let's think just a minute about the United States of America. Most of us, my age and down to about age 20 probably, 25, had the opportunity to learn about our nation, the actual history of our nation. And the thanksgiving of those early settlers. And certainly, there are things that happened in this nation and every nation that men probably wish they could take back. But the fact is, when you think about serving God and obeying God, and you look at the nation in which we live, you can look back to my grandparents and my great-grandparents, as far as I can remember, and to your grandparents, perhaps, if you're over 40 years old. You can remember when you go to their house and they would give thanks for the food before you ate. There was discussions of the Bible. There was talk of good things and right things. And even people that were not baptized believers in Christ, they were not Christians, that had an understanding that there is a God, He's alive. Maybe they were not Christians, but they were affected by other Christians and Christianity, that they obeyed the precepts and the concepts of what's found in being a Christian. They obeyed that. People came to this nation, and when they came into this nation, they heard preaching. It may have not always been correct from the Bible preaching, but they heard the concept that there's a God, in Him we live, and in God we trust. And when they heard those precepts, and they respected those precepts, and the values of God, the morals of people were kept intact. And so those who were Christians worshiped God, served God, obeyed God, and their influence helped it along. And for hundreds of years, a nation stood that was based on what? The principles of God. Not all the people in the nation agreed religiously. There were differences. There were different things, and they're still that way today. But the whole idea is that how do we get back to God? How do we get back to Him, the Most High God? That our heart would be brought down with humility and belief in God, and that others could do that. And look down at verse 13. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of man. Look at verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. It's a wise thing to believe in God. It's a wise thing to listen to God's Word. It's a wise thing for individuals and families and everyone to respect what God teaches. Because in His Word, you find out the individual's relationship, what it should be and what it can be, and how it can be right in the sight of God between that person and Him. That's you and God and me and God. You see the relationship that ought to be between a man and a woman who's husband and wife. You see what that relationship consists of. One man and one woman for life till death do you part, with the exception of putting away because of adultery, of fornication. See, God's law works. And you can see if God's law was followed in the family, the husband would love the wife, she'd love her husband, they'd love their children, and their children would be taught. What was it God told the children of Israel to do? To teach your children. Teach your son when you rise in the morning, when you walk through the day, when you lay down at night. Teach your son the law of God. Don't we need more of that today? Don't we need that? So God's Word can help us. It can help this nation. It can help me and it can help you. It can help any nation to get back to where it ought to be, because no nation is ever going to be 100% where it needs to be, because we're human. We make mistakes. But in those struggles and trials and problems, how much better would it be for everyone, individuals, couples, families, neighbors? What about in business? They talk about business being corrupt and big tech taking over and having influence in this and that. And what if people listen to the Word of God? Then business would be free course. You'd have free course in business. And it might be that, like it was in the days of the Bible, you might trade some butter for some corn. You might trade some wheat for something that you could make cloth out of. You might trade. That's God's plan. And you have the free course of money. You have the value of money in the Old Testament and the New. And so we get back to God's plan. Then the individual can serve God. The couple, the husband and wife, can serve God. The family can serve God. And if that happens, the society, people in society, more of them will serve God, because God's principles are put in place. And God's principles about doing right in business, treating others fairly, having an honest weight, doing good to others. It's okay to make a profit. That's part of it. They made profit in the Bible. They bought and sold. That's part of surviving. But for some to make all the profit and others to starve, that didn't have to be. You see, God fixed it in His Word where it could all come together and work. It functions. And I know we normally may not hear a lot of sermons in the regard of what we're talking about this morning. But if you look in God's Word and we read it, we see who He is, what He wants us to be, and then we see who we really are. And we have to face it. I'm not perfect. I never have been. I never will be. And I need God. I need His Son. I need His Son's blood. I need His grace and mercy. And I need to get on the program and study His Word and get with Him and obey Him. That's what I need to do. But what if more people did that? What if more people did that? You'd have laws made and enacted and carried out in nations to where they could stand. And there could be a nation of people that respected God, and they could be prosperous as far as spirituality and their regard for Him, their belief in Him, and the actions that they're having in their life every day. Well, let's go back to verse 19 again. These people had some problems. They didn't obey God. They didn't listen to God. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. The way that we all get distressed, everyone gets distressed because of sin. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. It distresses us because it separates us from God. God, in His mercy and grace, provided a way that we could get forgiveness for that, and His Son came and died and shed His blood so we could get forgiveness. So when we by faith believe and repent and confess Christ and are baptized, our sins are washed away. And we can be back in the right relationship with God again. And we can come out of the trouble of sin when we deal with it on God's terms and get forgiveness. And sin's what causes the problem between the husband and the wife, and the parents and the children, and the neighbor and neighbor, and business, and in the church. So the solution? Turn back to God. Repent and turn back to God. Let His Word have free course in the hearts of men. And may men have receptive hearts and attitudes toward the Word of God. This morning, I hope you'll consider what we've talked about. And go back and read Psalms 107 again. And tie in other verses throughout the Bible that shows who God is, who we are, and how we stand the side of God. But the first thing that you and I can do as individuals is we can get our life right with God. If you're here this morning and you haven't been baptized into Christ, and you are distressed because you have sin in your life, if you've never been baptized, you can confess Christ, repent of your sins, and be baptized, and He'll save you from your sins. That's a blessing. If we're here as a child of God and we have something we need to correct, then we can go to Him and confess our wrong and pray to Him, and He'll forgive us of our sins. And if it's of a public nature that we brought shame on our life in the church, and we confess it before others, and we pray one for another, God will forgive us. The answers, my friend, that we need and have always needed for any generation and this generation now and going forward as long as it may stand on this earth, the answers are not in men, but they are from God. And the answers can be in men if they receive what God tells them and obey those instructions to have the proper answers to solve the problems that face us. If you're here this morning, Barry's going to lead us in the invitation song. I urge you to come while we stand and while we sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing? Are you?